The writer implying that with faith or through faith, you can believe for much more than what you are. Scale. Of course, we know that this all has to have a starting point. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, will I speak to my people. That's upon. That's got to be escalating in an upward direction. Right? A young man is standing before a king, having made a commitment. It was a bold commitment. Bring my sword. Bring my armor. And you're going to need this, boy. You just let it out of your mouth. And it was a bold commitment. You're going to need some help. And they went and gathered sword, armor, brought it out. And he says, I've not proven this. And then he draws back from experience. I was out watching the sheep. There was a bear that came and to take one of the sheep. Man, something come over me. And I went and grabbed that bear with my hands. Now, who would think about taking on a bear with their hands? That would be kind of foolish or bold. But because the Spirit of God that had come upon him, you know, he, in his zeal and in his passion, moved in a direction that most would have gone the other way. Trouble in front, I'm out of here. But something about him moved in that direction. And when he began to face the problem, the anointing of God came upon him. He didn't know that was going to happen, but it did. And with the anointing of God, there was an empowerment that came into his being that he destroyed the bear. And so from an experience walking with God, little time passes and a lion shows up. Now some here may have hinted with a good rifle that you would confront the bear. But the coming of a lion, what does David do? Immediately he draws back on previous experience. Something that started maybe at this level has now accelerated up to a higher level, and now he's faced with a lion. The lion is going to steal a sheep. Once again, the anointing of God comes upon him. The power of God comes upon him. And he dares to face the impossible. And so in the presence of the king, turning down the assistance of the steel sword and the coat of mail or whatever it was, he resorted to his experiences in God, knowing I've had some prayer requests answered before. Let me tell you about the time. This was the situation. We called on God, and this is what he did. Which takes you up to another level, dimension of faith. Faith upon faith. So why is it pinned in the writings of the scripture? things that seem such an insurmountable task for any human being, if it's not that there would be a people who in faith would ascend to levels of faith in believing God that they would ask of him. So if I have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, and I say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, I would guess that if I am moving now then maybe I would speak to all the mountains, having been led of God to do so. You understand? Being led of the Holy Ghost to ask is aligning my will with his permission. It's not just looking at a list and saying, look, we need to get all these things taken care of, God. See to it, please. But if somewhere God gives me just a hint, just ask me of it. I'm waiting. It's in store. I'm ready. I want to do it. Come on, go ahead. Let me read to you out of the book of Joshua, and I'll be done. And then we'll dismiss the kids. I want every child to hear this. Oh, the faith of a child, Parker. People get old and they get less smart in some areas. More realistic. Joshua chapter 10 at verse 11. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down in Beth Horon, that the Lord cast great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now, you're there. You've observed this. You saw it happen. So, why not? Let's ask God something. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. He said, in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. World did that come from? Where did a man upon this earth could ever even dare to think, never mind ask, that his words could impact on such a world scale? There were things in his past. There were experiences in his past. He just watched hailstones come out of heaven and slew more of the enemy than they had slain in battle with the sword. Yes. Put your guns away. We got rocks. Heavenly rocks. Huh. I'll stop short of holy rocks. That he gets the idea. Lord. And speaks it out. Son. Stand still. Now you realize the sun doesn't move. But something stood still. It would have had to have been the earth. The earth, they didn't know it back then. We know it now. And you can reason in all your mind of why that could not happen, but then now you have to discount the word of God. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. How many tell that story to your kids at nighttime before they go to bed? Or do you think that's just a little extreme? How many were here in the 70s? Late 60s, early 70s, when they were doing all the mathematics for the moonshot. Oh, you were too young, brother. When they were doing the mathematics for the timing of the, you know, the trajectory and all those big scientific words, to make sure that the rocket would, or the, you know, the lunar landing module. Hey, look at that. Pulled that right out of the 70s. In order to meet up with a moving target, which was the moon. Their calculations said that the trajectory is a day off, or something to that effect. It was then that somebody said, wait, there's a scripture in the Bible. It's easy for us to quote the powerful scriptures that say that with God, all things are possible. But sometimes we stop short on allowing our faith to go to a place that we'll look to Him and ask of Him anything. Anything. Children are dismissed. I'm still thinking about last week when we talk about the scripture that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I pose the question, how much?
Why don't we pray for a moment? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Italalalamasitia tororo bahakatataya bahaye. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I want to draw your attention to a familiar portion of scripture in Hebrews 11. The Lord put this in my spirit as Bishop was talking, and I feel like This is what he's trying to bring us to, this place of faith, this place of trust. The prevailing thought that the Lord put in my spirit was somebody had to be the first to believe. I mean, when you think about it, sun stands still. Unless somebody knew and had a confidence in their relationship with the one who had created the sun and believed and was assured that he had all power and authority over the sun. When you think about, when you look at things, there's a term that sometimes we use in business. When you look at things transactionally, you lose sight of the big picture. And sometimes I fear that we look at the Bible transactionally and we look at a story like the crossing of the Red Sea by the children of Israel. And we say, wow, powerful. A rod and waters parting and 500,000 to 2 million, 3 million people crossing on dry land. And wow, that was amazing. And what faith that must have took. Until you begin to realize at what juncture along the journey that miracle was. You start realizing, wait a minute. They'd already saw plagues. They saw the death of the firstborn. They witnessed the miracle of blood on doorposts. Now, how silly is that? I want you to go outside tonight, take that blood of that ram, that lamb, and I want you to put it over the doorpost. Neighbor's looking at you like, psst. Anybody seen what's going on at 1301? And then they wake up in the morning and at 1303, they lost their firstborn. And I'm still holding mine. My goodness. And so when they marched out and they encountered the Red Sea and there was the army coming behind them and all that played out into that, and they begin to march forward. That was nothing to them. When you look at it in perspective, you see, he was leading them. All those plagues, all the things that transpired weren't just mere little happenings. They weren't accidents, but it was him building line upon line, precept upon precept. I am your father. I do have the ability to make a way for you, and I'm going to show you. Had he taken them, had Pharaoh just let them go, And Moses had walked them to the edge of the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh came chasing them. I don't know what would have happened. Maybe they'd have scattered like scared deer. But there was a confidence that they had. It transpired. It came to pass, and that miracle transpired because what they had gone through leading up to that point. Think about Elijah for a moment. Scripture said that he encountered a young boy who was dead. And by faith, he obeyed the word of God, and God raised that son to life. And then you fast forward. And it was the one who came behind him. What a marvelous miracle that it was. Well, he was just simply building upon the faith. He'd heard the story. He was building upon that. He received that. He was walking in that same faith. If you simply look at a story and you say, wow, that's a great story. It was the lion and the bear that led David to Goliath. It was the confidence that came that, man, I threw that rock at that. I used my bare hands. God worked a miracle. This guy's nothing. I may have feared the bear. I may have feared the lion. I don't fear this guy because I got history. Hebrews chapter 11 talks a little bit about this history. Now faith, this is a scripture we all read. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Woo! We finish. We're done. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise God. Hallelujah. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, everybody say by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I mean, when you think about that, when you think of what transpired from the days of Cain on, from that first sacrifice that was given. Well, you got to go back to the first one, because there were animal skins that were given Adam and Eve by God. So that was the first, somebody sacrificed their life. I was having a Bible study the other day with somebody about types and shadows, and I brought up the idea that blood had to be shed in order for those skins to be created. And they said, well, you're really reaching now. Praise God. Have a good day. I'll see you next week. I said, are you telling me God created them out of thin air?
I don't know.
Either way, it was a miracle. But by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. And it was upon that the entire Old Testament was built. When you go read the book of Exodus and Leviticus and all the instruction that God gave to his people about sacrifices, it started right there. But he was the first by faith. You want me to do what? Yeah, okay. If that's what you're asking me to do, here you go. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's see, was there anybody else in the Old Testament that was translated? Well, I couldn't believe that God would do that. You know, that's, God gave me a word and told me. They built upon these things. There's scripture in the Old Testament that tells us that they would, well, the instruction they got in Deuteronomy was, teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou risest up, when thou layest down. That was the instruction. They talked about these things. These were more than stories to them. This was their history. And they spoke of them to their children. They instructed their children in these things. They told them. When they crossed the Jordan River and they put a stack of stones up, and they said, what is this? They said, this is a memorial for future generation. They spoke of these things. They talked of these things. And it was the testimony of these that built faith. So somebody along the way, years later, from what, Genesis chapter 6 or 7, when Enoch was translated, somebody had heard that story. I don't know, maybe a prophet by the name of Elijah. We're talking about line upon line, precept upon precept, faith upon faith. The book of Romans actually says from faith to faith. It's a building upon. Verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Oh, another candy stick. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a great verse. How do I get faith? Well, I got to go through some things. I got to trust God in his word when he tells me, I want you to do this. And I step out in faith. Trust him and believe him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So now, I mean, Peter said of this, the like figure whereunto baptism did now also save us. I'm jumping around the scripture, wherein his eight souls were saved by water. So God spared eight people. And we look at that and we think, wow. And then you jump ahead to Abraham and his conversation with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. And we think, what's wrong with you, Abraham? How dare you? That place is so wicked. Well, there was precedent. He had enough faith to believe if God would spare eight and destroy the whole world, surely he could spare Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he spoke in faith. He had a confidence in what he was asking of God because there was a precedent that had been set. You did this before. You can do it again. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's see, were there any other people in the scripture who weren't able to have children, who were barren, who believed God, and God worked a miracle? This was the beginning. This was the first. Up in age, trusted that the word of God was true. Oh, she laughed at it at first, but she became the precedent. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. They walked in faith. They lived in faith. They believed God that the things that were going to transpire were going to affect the next generation. They just simply were walking in faith. I may not see the end result of what it is that God has given me a word about, but I'm going to walk in faith about it, and I'm going to live like it's going to come to pass. And we've just spent the last 15 minutes talking about how their faith continued on. And we have the stories that what they started, the Holy Ghost finished in generations to come. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. While we talk about Abraham and all this, wow, who could do that? March their son up. Father, where's the sacrifice? I see the wood. I see God will provide himself a sacrifice. What great faith! Well, yeah, it was good. It was great faith. But if you understood the faith that got him to the place where he could even be walking up the mountain with the sun, this was pocket change. This was mustard seed faith. But it was the previous experience that gave him the confidence to take Isaac by the hand and say, "We're going yonder to worship. Let's go. Where's the sacrifice, Dad? God's going to give us one by faith. I believe it." Oh, I'm telling you today, don't despise what you're dealing with right now. That thing that God is asking you to endure right now, and that you're walking, you're stepping in faith. He's working something in you. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God's going to take us out of here. It'd be easy for me to escape this and come over here and live a luxurious life, but I believe God's going to take all of us out of here. I got faith. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, saying were to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? Time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, Jephthah and David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yet, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hatararabakiti atororobahatataye. We believe this is our hour, Father. We believe this is our day. We stand upon the promise of your word. We can say in confidence today that we've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. In the name of Jesus. We stand in confidence today, Father. We stand in confidence today. In the name of Jesus. We step out and walk in faith today. Step by step with you, Father. We stand upon the promises of your word. We believe today that they are yea and amen. We believe that when you make a start, you also make a finish. We believe today that what you started, you will complete. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You ought to believe God right now in faith for your situation. You ought to step out in faith right now concerning your circumstances, your specific life condition, your specific healing, your specific home situation. Step out in faith and believe him right now. We speak those things which are not as though they were right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I came into this morning, feeling like I would share, and I'm going to ask if my wife would come to the keyboard. We're probably not going to go any further than we're at right now. We're not going to move beyond this. The Holy Ghost is ministering to individuals right now, and there's great faith in the room. Don't stop. Thank you. I came in this morning. You can just keep praying. You're okay. I'm going to talk, but you can pray. What I'm going to share with you is the purpose is to build your faith, to increase your faith. I came into this morning feeling like I was going to share this story, but I wasn't sure how it was fit and everything. So here we are. I've been dealing with a situation outside of church, outside of anybody that's connected to here. It's a very, very difficult situation. Interactions with a person who is very, very deceitful, very untruthful, and can't seem to communicate or do anything without spinning everybody. And has multiple spins going at multiple times all the time, playing everyone against each other. And it's just, it's a big game. And at times I find myself angry. In my flesh, I find myself angry about this, Ben. I don't know if I'm more angry that you think I'm naive enough to not know that all this is going on, or at the fact that it's happening. And for a long time, I sat in the shadows and I sulked about it. I'm talking about years. I sulked about it. Not from a position of, oh, woo, it's me, but from a position of, man, why? First of all, having conversations with my father, okay? First of all, why in the world are you subjecting me to this? I mean, I get the all things work together for good, but come on. I mean, 9 straight years of this, and I'm starting to wear a little bit thin. And you keep putting me in situations where this person keeps propagating certain thoughts and ideas that I know are false. And I got to sit here at the table and act like I agree with them. And I'm about done. So I sit back and have my little pity party. Oh, God, could you deliver me from this mess? Please. No. Few more months go by, you know, the weight of it. I'm reminded of the scripture in Exodus that said the tail of the bricks on the children of Israel became heavy. They'd work for a few more days. Oh, we're okay with this. And then, you know, they had twice as many bricks to make. And, oh, this is so bad. And nobody doing anything about it. It just becomes this weight that you carry everywhere you go and everything that you're involved in. And why? So then, you know, in my flesh, I got boldness. Well, I'm going to start talking about this. I'm just going to be open about it. If you're open about it, I'm going to be open about it. Felt like God gave me some place with a few different individuals, and there were some closed door meetings, and some things came up. Some questions were asked of me. Well, what do you think about it? Did you hear? Yeah. And I felt the boldness come over me, and I believe it was of the Lord. Maybe it was in my flesh, but I just began to share some things. I said, yeah, I've witnessed that. And that's ridiculous. Maybe you've never dealt with an individual. And maybe you'll identify with this next statement where you can't believe a single thing that comes out of their mouth. Not a single thing. Not a single story. You have to go validate everything. And I mean everything. So I started talking, trying to get other people aware of this. And then I started realizing everybody was aware of it. And everybody started talking quietly.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad, isn't it? Yeah, you know. I do the same thing. I fact check everything. I do all this stuff. And I'm going, why in the world are we all subjected? Oh, don't say anything about that. Don't talk about that publicly. Don't challenge that.
Friday morning, I was getting ready for work. As I was getting ready, I felt so strong the Lord impress upon me. You've never talked to me about that. Well, Lord, I didn't know you were worried about that.
Well, I know about it.
Well, if you know about it,
then why haven't you done something about it?
So for the first time, I begin to speak some things to the Lord in prayer. It was still early in the morning. I wasn't even half awake yet. Lights were all still off in the house. I'm just trying to figure out how to make sure my shirt's buttoned up so that it's not crooked. And I begin to pray, Father, I have a confidence in you. I believe that you can bring to light every false word that's spoken. I believe your word that says that that which is done in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops, and that which is done in darkness will be brought to the light. I believe that every single ill-willed motive can be revealed. And I begin to speak these things. No, nothing happened on Friday. But I simply took something that has held over, that has hung over my head for years. And in faith, I spoke things into existence. That as of today, I haven't seen any tangible results of anything that I said, but I stand here today in a confidence in the Holy Ghost that the things that I said will come to pass. We either believe this or we don't. Either we walk in faith and when He gives us utterance, we speak the rhema of God, or we don't. Either we're making all this up and this is just candy land, fantasy land, Candy Crush video games, or this is the Spirit of Almighty God operating through vessels in the earth. Either we're Spirit-filled believers and we're the bride of Christ, or this is just a really cool virtual reality game. Which is it to you? Do you believe that that He's concerned about everything? There's no snippet of my life that I can try to compartmentalize and say, well, that He's not concerned about. He lets me deal with that on my own. I'm afraid sometimes that's how we work it. Well, God, I'm going to trust you with this. All this spiritual stuff. I can trust you with all this financial stuff. Well, maybe. I can trust you with all this kid stuff. Maybe. Right? Start compartmentalizing. Like, I can't give you anything about my job because you don't care about my job. That guy that I report to that runs me ragged and crazy, you don't care about that. Or does he? Oh, that family situation over here that's a travesty and consistently sucks me in and I can't seem to get away from it. You don't care about that. I'll talk to the pastor about that. Oh, he cares about everything. And he simply waits for us to have enough faith to speak to him about it. And there's those moments that we feel that drawing of the Spirit of God, that release to begin to pray about that situation. And then the utterance comes. And we begin to speak things. I want us to stand right now. There's such great faith in this room today.
you're believing God for something, I want you to know this altar's open today. If there's something that maybe you haven't addressed in faith, you can come. Don't hold back. You can come. If maybe there's something you haven't addressed in faith, there's something that's been surrounding your life that's been troublesome, disruptive, troubling. Maybe it's even turned your world upside down a little bit and you haven't addressed it in prayer. This is your invitation. Let the Holy Ghost lead you in prayer for just a couple of moments and allow Him to minister to you, minister to your situation.
He is my faithful.
Speak to Him about it. Speak to Him about it. In the name of Jesus. There's nothing that is outside of your realm of concern, Father. There's nothing off limits to you in my life, Jesus. Everything is open before you. I speak to it today in the name of Jesus. I speak to the mountain today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
But my soul is on fire with His word.
He is my
Father calling me out of the tide. I cannot whisper away what He said in the light. He is my firm.
Power on my
reading one night. I think it was either in Exodus or the end of Genesis. Must have been Exodus. About God delivering the people out of Egypt. And I don't know why that I'd never seen it before. Just how many times the Lord made reference to Egypt's horses and chariots. It was obvious through the reading that their confidence had been placed entirely in their horses and in their chariots. And then I go to the book of Psalms and I read this. Psalms 20 and 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy mountain with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses.
Yes, yes.
But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright.
Yes.
Save, Lord. Hear the King. Hear us when we call.
Yes.
There are many that trust in the mechanics of this world and of this age. But let me tell you something that never changes in the people of God. It's where they put their faith in Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand right now and just speak it out with me? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where I put my trust. This is where I put my faith. I will wait upon you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name.